go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship where he was going to go to Tarshish, paid the fare, went down into it with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. Then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God, and they threw the cargo, which was in the ship, into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship, laid down, and fallen sound asleep. So the captain approached him and said, "How is it that you are sleeping? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish." Each man said to his mate, "Come, let us cast lots so we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." The men became extremely frightened, and they said to him, "How could you do this?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. So they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may become calm for us?" For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. He said to them, "Pick me up, throw me into the sea, then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that on the account of this great storm has come upon you." However, the men rowed desperately to return to land, but they could not, for the sea was becoming even stormier against them. Then they called on the Lord, "We earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on us. For you, O Lord, have done as you have pleased." So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Then the men feared the Lord greatly. They offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. You know, this book, from beginning to end, points to the character of God. We're not going to deal on the whole story today. We're going to deal on this first chapter. You know, the fish, though, from the time you're this high, we think of the story of Jonah and the whale, and honestly, we don't know if it's a whale or not. It's a big fish. Maybe a whale shark. Who knows? It seemed like a few years back I read a story about a guy who got swallowed by a whale shark. So it can happen. But the fish is a relatively minor part of this story. The story is about the character and purpose of God. We see that all through it. Luke 19:10, if you want to talk about Jesus, "I came to seek and save that which was lost." Well, this was God seeking and saving that which was lost before Jesus was born on this earth. The book of Jonah is one of the most relevant books for then and now, for past and present. R.T. Kendall is on target when he stated that. It's one of the most relevant books for the present time. But the book of Jonah, it's not really a feel-good story. It's a story of prejudice. It's a story of frustration. It's a story about a battle of the wills. It's a story of disobedience. And then in its finality, it's a feel-good story because it's a story of God's love. But it's a story of disagreement for most of them. Have you ever had a disagreement with someone? From the time you're about 2 years old, you begin to have disagreements. You know, you don't want to eat your peas at supper when you're 3 years old. But your mom and dad say, "You're going to eat them." Any of you had parents like that? Did you have parents that made you eat something? Holy smokes, I remember trying to scrape that zucchini off my plate without them seeing. When they would turn their head, honestly, I would put a napkin in my lap. When they would turn their head, I'd rake that zucchini off and try to hide it. Boy, I mean, who can eat that stuff? But, there's a battle going on from the time you're little. There's disagreements. As you get older, those disagreements don't go away. It may have been with your parents. It may be with your children. It may be with a brother or sister. It may be with a spouse. It may be with a friend. But somewhere along the way, you've had struggles getting along with someone. You've had struggles seeing things. You see things one way, they see things another. and there's a battle of the wills going on. Have you ever had a major disagreement with God? You know, we'll admit a lot of times to having disagreements with other people. We don't really like saying, yeah, I've had a major disagreement with God. But it sounds bad to say, yeah, God and I are having issues. He doesn't agree with me. You know, how arrogant is that to say, well, God doesn't agree with me? You know, nobody would ever really say that. But you know what? People will live that. We think, listen, and do things our way. The truth is, sometimes when we're having disagreements with God, it's up in our life just the same way it does when we have disagreements with other people. You know, sometimes if you're having a disagreement with another person, one of the things that will happen is it will show up in the form of neglect. If someone or something bothers me, then I just stay away from that individual. I don't spend time with them. It's common to avoid them. You know what? When we're having disagreements with God, sometimes we do the same thing with Him. God, we know God wants us to do this, but we'd rather do that. So we distance ourselves from God. Our relationship with Him gets off center, and it shows up in neglect. We neglect His Word. We neglect to be passionate about Him. We neglect being with His people. You know, typically when people start missing church too much, it may not be that they're mad at the church. It just may be that their relationship with God's got off center. And it's not priority for them anymore. You know, and I think that happens in our relationship with God. When we are living this way, and God says we ought to live this way, one of the things that will happen is we typically find ourselves distanced from God. A lot of times by our own choosing. Other times we have a disagreement with God, it shows up in the form of disobedience. You know, God's Word tells us that He has a plan for our life. It's real clear. Scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. And I believe that from the moment a person is born on this earth, God has a plan for their life. Now, it's up to them to try to find that plan, to follow that plan. And though we know God has a plan, we often choose our own plan. God had a plan for Adam and Eve. They chose a different path. People have been choosing different paths ever since. You know, we would never say, I know more than God. Nobody's ever, well, I don't know, maybe a few people might say that. But almost nobody will ever say, oh, I know more than God about my life. But the problem is, the reality is, we trust our plan more than we trust God. That's why we see disobedience. And to that I say this, welcome to Jonah's world. That's exactly where he was. God prepared Jonah's plan. Chapter 1, verse 2. Listen, read it. Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Jonah, this is what I want you to do. Straight out, I want you to go to Nineveh. Jonah packed his bags and went the completely other direction. God said, Jonah, go to El Paso. And Jonah said, man, I'm going to Arkansas. What's that? Now, wait a minute. We hadn't got, that's worse. What? Jonah ran away from the Lord and he headed for Tarshish, to flee from the Lord, like he could get away far enough. Proverbs 21:30 says, there is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. When we pack our bags and head away from the Lord, listen, problems are coming. Why is our nation in the situation and struggles that we're having right now? Because we have packed our bags and we have said, Lord, we don't need you anymore. That's exactly why we are where we are, without any doubt. Scripture's clear. If our plans and God's plan go two different ways, there's only one going to succeed, and it won't be ours. If we want to succeed, we've got to choose to do things God's way. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your way to the Lord and your plans will succeed. So Jonah headed to El Paso. God said go to Arkansas. And there's a good principle for life. You know, if you want things in your life to succeed, if you want your business to succeed, then it has to be run with godly principles and a godly lifestyle. If you want your marriage and your family, you got to develop a Christ-like character. You know, you got to be obedient to what for you. Otherwise, you're on your own. And listen, when you get on your own, most of the time, on your own doesn't turn out well. In Jonah's case, God gave him clear instructions. But Jonah had another agenda. Jonah hated Nineveh. But you know what? God loves all people. Jonah hated those Ninevites. They were wicked. They were sinners. He was prejudiced. And they were the object of his prejudice. Assyria was a great yet evil empire. Israel's an enemy. When God told him to go, he said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm going the other way. Now, it wasn't a question of direction. Jonah had clear instruction. He understood what God wanted. And in his mind, he believed, hey, no one deserved God's favor less than those guys. Jonah even knew the power of God's message because, you know, he knew if he went, those people would repent. Those sorry dogs would get away with it. And he didn't want those sorry dogs to get away with it. He didn't want God's forgiveness for them. They'd be spared his judgment if he followed God's instruction. So rather than give in and follow God, he said, God, you're going to have to trust me on this one. I've got a better plan. I want you to remember this. Jonah's story is our story. What Jonah didn't know is the danger that's involved when we run from God. Look at chapter 1, verse 4. We see in verse 2, God said, go here. We see in verse 3, Jonah said, I'm going there. And we see in verse 4, what happens? The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea and a great storm, so the ship was about to break up. You know, here's the theme of this morning's message. You can run from God, but you can't outrun Him. You can run from Him, but no matter how fast, no matter how far, you can't outrun Him. I've known people raised in the church. They go to high school, they graduate, they get out on their own, and they try to leave this notion of God and church behind. They'll say things like, man, when I was young, my parents drug me to church. Now I'm making my own decisions. I'm gonna do my own thing. You know, they're running from God. Other people may give God some control of their life, but not others. They say, I'll give God this, but I'm not going to give Him this. And you know, they've decided to follow Jesus, but just not that far. We hold on to certain areas of our life. We basically say, God, I'll give you this, but I won't give you this because I've got a different plan. I'll trust you, but I'm only going to trust you this far. We run because we believe that if we do exactly what God wants us to do, we're going to miss out on something. Now listen, nobody is going to come out and say those words. But that's what we believe in our heart of hearts when we fail to fully commit to Jesus. We fail to fully commit to say, Lord, whatever you want, however you want it, whenever you want it, whatever you want me to do, I'll follow you. When we fail to say that, we're basically saying, God, I'll give you this, but I'm not going to give you this because I'm not quite sure how it'll turn out. What we don't realize is when we run from God, we often find ourselves in the strangest of places. Look here. Jonah's running the opposite direction from where God wanted him. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. Why did he want to go to Nineveh? Because the people are wicked. Remember that. Because they are evil. They're wicked. They're sinners. And so he heads to the Phoenician port city of Tarshish, where the people are wicked. Just like they were in Nineveh. The Phoenician city of Tarshish, they were militaristic, they were materialistic, they were outside the will of God. So Jonah doesn't want to go to them because they're wicked, so he runs over here because they're wicked. That doesn't make much sense, right? Neither does running from God. Neither does not fully trusting God. Neither does saying, Lord, I'll give you this, but I won't give you that. Hey, either he is God or he is not. We're either on board with him or we're struggling with him. Secondly, when you're running from God, your life will eventually either unravel or will self-destruct. Not typically very quickly. You know, I'm not saying that if you decide to run from God today that tomorrow you're going to be in the pit. It's not the way it usually happens. Usually there's just a slow slide down and away from God. We typically cycle down. When a person runs from God, remember this, they are running from the source of wisdom. Where they're running from right. They're running from truth. And so what's going to happen is bad decisions are on the horizon. When you begin to run from God, it may not happen today, but somewhere one decision leads to another decision, leads to another decision. Pretty soon you're far from God. You think, how did I get to where I'm at? The reason that it falls apart is this. God has a plan for you. And to decipher that plan, you've got to have godly insight. And if God is a source of wisdom and you're running from him, pretty soon you're going to find yourself living in the land of stupidity. Thirdly, people running from God always hurt those who are closest to them. When life begins to unravel, everyone around you is going to be affected, especially those that are closest to you. That's who's going to feel the impact most when your life struggles. Verse 5, the sailors with Jonah are scared to death. They're fighting to save their lives. The ship's about to break up. They're throwing cargo off. They have no idea what's about to happen to them. But they've been sailors probably long enough to know, hey, this ain't good. You know, I would say this to teenagers. If your mom and dad don't approve of who you hang out with, if they don't approve of who you want to date, it may be because they understand that if that person isn't living for the Lord, if that person isn't living for the Lord, pretty soon you're going to get hurt because you're living close to them. People running from God hurt those around them. Here's one of my favorite parts of this story. Look down to verse 13. All right, the truth is coming out over who's to blame here. And they finally find out it's Jonah. Jonah says, hey, throw me into the sea and the seas will calm down. And I like verse 13. However, the men rowed desperately to return to land. They could not, for the sea was becoming even stormier against them. Jonah realizes he's the source of the problem. The pagan sailors, they understand the fear of the Lord better than Jonah does. They don't want his blood on their hands. They don't want to throw him in. They want to do the right thing. Jonah is running from God. He's running from wisdom. He's doing his own thing. And it's these pagan sailors that actually have sense to say, hey, we don't want to kill this guy. And they're doing everything they can not to kill this guy. And you know what? Look on down to verse 16. They understand fear of the Lord a little bit better than Jonah does. Then the men, the sailors, feared the Lord greatly. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. These guys had more of a reverence or fear for God at this point than even Jonah did. Jonah, on the other hand, is unrepentant. He'd rather die than follow God's plan. Because that was exactly what he said. He said, throw me overboard. Just kill me. Just kill me. You know, sin can sink its teeth so deep in us that it's almost like it's part of you. I think that's where Jonah, he's so unrepentant. He's so prejudiced against these people. This is going to be my way. I'm not going. Rather than let it go, he holds on to it. Sometimes in our life, when sin sinks its claws so deep in us, we've drifted so far away from God, God will either take it by force or he'll allow us to destroy our own life in the presence of holding on to what we want to hold on to rather than trusting him. But you know the whole story of this. The whole story of this. God is about to bring judgment on Jonah. Not so much to pay him back, but to bring him back. God wants to bring Jonah back. The whole time Jonah is running from God, God is using that to bring him back. When he's thrown into the sea, when he's swallowed by the fish, 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. I said, well, fish. That goes back to that childhood thing. The whole time, the point that God is trying to get across to Jonah is, listen, I love you and I love them. That's the gospel. That Jonah's is God at work. He's trying to run from God. God is waiting at some point that he might regret that choice. Jonah's a hard head. It takes a long time, even to the end of the story, for him to get there. But the good news is for us today, even if people are running from God, even if people are neglecting their relationship with him, God loves you. God wants you to come back. God has a plan for you. And that plan is to use you to impact the lives of other people. Because the lost needs saved. And he's come to seek and save that which was lost. Even the evil, wicked Ninevites. Even the evil, wicked people of today. We need to get on board with God's plan. We really need to get on board with God's plan as a nation. Because, you know, we're turning away. No way to look at society and say we're not. We need to realize from where we've strayed. And I've said it a million times. It will not start in society. It will not start in government. It has to start in churches. The hope of America is our churches. Christians. Turning back to God. And it starts as individuals. One by one, people have to make the decision, I'm going to follow God's plan for my life. Very simply this morning, are you following God's plan for your life? Are you willing to say, yes, Lord, I'll follow. Wherever you lead, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'm with you. If somebody needs to hear about Christ, I'll tell them. I'll walk with you on a daily basis because I believe you have the best plan for my life. I don't have the best plan for my life. You have the best plan for my life. That's what Jonah took so long to understand, is that God really does have the best plan for your life. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for this story, this old story, but yet it's as relevant today as it's ever been for us. Lord, we live in a place and a time where rather than following you, Lord, we have turned and gone our own way. And I pray, Lord, that we might understand better than Jonah did, I guess, that you love all people. Lord, most of all, you love us and have a plan for our life. We have to be willing to follow. We have to be willing to say yes. If there's anyone here today who doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray that today might be the day that they say yes. To understand that living away from you is going the wrong way. Lord, that those who have maybe begin to neglect the things, and maybe they wouldn't say, oh, I'm having a disagreement with God, but they're not following.